praise the name of Jesus today? How many of you come to lift up the name of Jesus on today? Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah! I come to lift up the name of Jesus in this house. Oh, glory. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! The presence of the Lord is here. And I come to get my blessing. Oh, I come to be a blessing to you, but I come to get my blessing. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the true and the living God on today. Amen. 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 I love you in the Lord on today. Amen. And I just thank God, amen, for this day. Surely this is the day that the Lord has made. Y'all tell me if I'm off. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. And I just come to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm just excited about what God is doing. Amen. And I just want to give him honor. All honor be unto him on today. Amen. This is his day. He made it for me. But he's doing something on today. Amen. And I just give him all the honor and I give him the praise and I give him the glory. Amen. For being here. Amen. In this place at this appointed hour. Amen. Amen. I want to give honor unto my pastor. Amen. For those that may be visiting, our pastor is not here on today. Pastor Charles Tedder. Amen. And our First Lady Allison Tedder. Amen. We give honor unto them for the great work that they are doing here in the Colorado Springs area. Amen. And we love them and we say to them as they are in Killeen, Texas on today and worshiping with their bishop, amen, and being deposited into, amen, and fed and being prepared to come back here, amen, and break, amen, the bread one more time with us with something new, amen. So prepare yourselves for your pastor as they return, amen, this coming week. Amen. And we just want to say that it's all about him. Amen. We are here and we recognize that it's all about Jesus. Amen. It's not about us. Amen. It's not about the city of Colorado Springs or the state of Colorado. Amen. Or even in this great country that we live in, America. Amen. But it's all about him. Amen. And we recognize him and we give him the praise. Give Jesus a hand clap. Amen. On this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. In this house, we choose to represent as our pastor has taught us, amen, as sons and daughters. So I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. I'm going to step off one of the stones that our pastor has been teaching us. Amen. We've been in the book of Genesis, amen, and we've been talking about the five pillars of the grace, amen, the grace for growth, amen. We're trying to grow as a body of believers. We've been in existence now for nearly 3 years, amen. And God is taking us to higher heights and in deeper depths, amen. How many of you believe that? Yeah. Hallelujah. And we got to get ready to go where God wants to take us to, amen. Amen. So, and our pastor has been talking about the five pillars, and I just want to give you just a little overview, amen, before I get into the word, amen. We've been in Genesis 1 and 28, amen, and he's been talking about five things: being fruitful, multiplying, replenishing, subduing, and having dominion. Amen. And so I'm going to step off of one of the points that the pastor has been ministering. Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord has truly blessed me as I have been just seeking for the Father's face. Amen. In regards to what the Lord would have me to say to you on this morning. And it's learning how to be fruitful. And I just want to get the saints, you know, loosen up a little bit with, you know, a lot of y'all, you know, I'm Eldress Adams, amen, but a lot of y'all, you know you as me, as Sister Deborah, because that's, I'd like to just get down and just get down natural and be where I am with you, amen. So I want you to know being fruitful is not a couple of things, amen, amen. Come help me out, come help me out. Y'all, I done dropped off. Praise the Lord. All right, it's all right. Pastor say we learning, amen. And we may make a few mistakes, but we learning, amen. Y'all hang with me, because Sister Deborah going to have to probably come mic. Hook me up, y'all. Hook me up here, Elder. Praise the Lord.
That's a blessing.
She knew to bring that mic to Sister Deborah, because I turned this thing off in 5 seconds. Amen. We ain't even got loose yet. But praise the Lord. We thank God. Amen. We even thank him for our mistakes, because we learn from the mistakes. Amen. And we're learning how to be fruitful. Amen. And I just wanted to say that, you know, we're not talking about hanging out underneath the shade tree. Amen. And pulling fruit off the tree. Amen. And we're not talking about how we can get blessed by stuff. Amen. But we're talking about being blessed people of God, that God has called us to be. You are blessed, amen. The Bible says in Genesis 1 and 28, he said, and he blessed them, amen. And so you are a blessed people. But I want to talk to you about how to become more fruitful in accomplishing that, amen. So if you would turn with me to the book of John in the 12th chapter, please stand on your feet for the reading of God's word. Book of John and the 12th chapter. And if you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're searching, say glory. Glory. If you got there, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, we can read in the book of John in the 12th chapter in the 20th verse. And the word of the Lord reads, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip comes and tells Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except, all right, y'all got me going. You want me to use the mic? Hallelujah. Except, say except. Corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. All right. It abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. Amen. Father, we do thank you and we praise you on this day, Father. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you that your word is true, Father God. I thank you that the word comes forth under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Father God. Lord, I pray you hide me behind the cross. Lord, that they would see you and not me, O God. Father, let the word, Father God, go forth, Father God, and accomplish that which you sent it to do, O God. I thank you, Father God, and we give you the praise and the glory. Now, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. You have no place. You have no authority. We take authority over you in the name of Jesus. We declare that the word of God shall fall on good ground. Some 30, some 60. And Father, I thank you for the hundredfold on this day. If you're in agreement, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're going to work here with the mic. Amen. Because I'm just an old-fashioned mic girl, amen. We're going to grow in grace. I thank God for his grace and for his mercy, amen. But God has a word for you on today, amen. And I want to be talking to you about bearing fruit, amen. And I asked the Spirit of the Lord, Lord, what would you give me to give to your people as a message, as a title, if I would, amen. And he gave me, I dare you to die this death. I dare you to die this death. Now, I know death, that don't sound good. I know that don't sound good in the natural. But I'm trying to tell you that this is a good thing. I'm trying to tell you that the word dare means I challenge you. I challenge you to step out in boldness. I challenge you to step out
and do what God has called you to do. I challenge you to be the man of God that God has called you to be in your home. I challenge you to be the woman of God that will get up early in the morning and get on your knees and begin to travail and call on the name of Jesus and pray for your loved ones. I dare you to die this death. Because there's some things that have to take place in order for us to bear fruit. In order for us to bear fruit, we have to develop. And God is requiring of us that some things die that has attached itself unto our lives. It don't belong there because we belong to Him. We're connected to the true vine. And we have to know that we have to die to some things so that we can live the life that God has called us to live. And you know, I was reminded about a garden. And I have a garden on the side of my house that my husband did some gardening a couple of years ago, and we didn't do any gardening this past year. And the Lord told me to go out and take a look at the garden. And I went out, and I was a little afraid, you know, because, you know, when the Lord go to telling you, you know, look up in the corner of the house, and he show you some spider webs. Yeah, uh-huh. He's showing you your house. Amen. This is my house right here. Amen. And he go out there and go to telling me to look in the garden. And you go to looking in the garden, and you get to seeing, well, Lord, what am I? You see them weeds over there? You see that you see that ground, how it done got kind of crumbled up? It done got kind of hard. Amen. We're going to have to break it up. We're going to have to work it. Amen. We're going to have to get out here and till the ground. Amen. And sometimes that's how we get in our lives. We want to go out and spread the seed, but we got to get out there and break up the fallow ground. Amen. We got to get out and we got to begin to work the grounds. Amen. But we need to understand that we are in a development stage. Amen. How many of you can say that you are a child of God? You are a king's kid. Amen. You are attached to the vine. Amen. So we need to see ourselves as getting in this place. Now, when I was talking to the Lord about it, he said, now, we got to grow up and come out of our comfort zone. Yeah, he said we got some comfort zones, amen. Amen, I thank God for his word because anytime that I prepare myself to minister the word of God, I tell God, now Lord, don't let this be something that they get and I don't get and then I get lost. See, I got to get this for me, amen. And he said, come up out of your comfort zone. And I said, well, Lord, well, how would you explain to the body of believers about the comfort zone? Amen. And he just gave me such a revelation that I want to share with you right now. Amen. He said, you know, we like to feel safe. Amen. We like to feel safe, but we're not secure. We need to feel secure. And the only way that you can truly be secure is in Christ Jesus. Amen. We need to get secure in Christ Jesus. Amen. But not just because we're waiting on to be caught up with the Lord and to receive our eternal life, but we need to feel secure in where we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So he said, so just let's talk about what safe is, and then we're going to talk about what truly secure is. Because these words are sometimes used interchangeably with different groups of people. Safe is applied rather to a person or a thing that is passed out of and beyond the reach of danger. Amen. Sometimes, you know, the Lord get us out of trouble. Amen. We get in trouble. Amen. I don't want to go there. In finances, we get in trouble in legal situations. We get in trouble on the job. Amen. And then God gets us past that point and we are safe. But we need to know that we are secure. And the Lord told me, said, now secure is looked at a little different. It is applied to that which there is no need to fear or to worry. There ain't no need to worry. You don't have to worry about it. Amen. You can come and put it at the altar. Lay it at his feet. Amen. And know that it's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Come on and clap your hands for Jesus on this morning. I thank God that he secures us, that we can be secure in Christ Jesus. And I was talking to the Lord about being secure, and he says, you know, when we go through things, that's why we want to be safe. We want to be safe because we can't love again. We want to be safe because we don't want somebody to hurt us. We don't want to get too close to you. You know what I'm saying? I got arm distance on you, elder. Amen? Because I can't let you get too close to me because you hurt me before. Therefore, I can't let you hurt. But the Lord said, learn how to love like Jesus. Come on now. Learn how to love like Jesus. Learn how to walk like Christ walked. Amen? And he said, then there's other times where we put up fences. Oh, come on now, y'all. Y'all, come on, put them fences down. Yeah, we put up fences because we don't want people to get too close to us. Amen. It's sort of like the people that have the great big fences around their homes. A lot of times because they don't want the neighbors to walk on their grass. They don't want you coming up trespassing on their property. Amen. So they got fences up. Amen. And they decide when they open their fence. But I want you to know, with Christ Jesus, you got to let down your fence. You got to let the gate open. Amen. You got to let the Holy Spirit come in and begin to minister to you and speak to you about that situation. Amen. We want to be safe for other things. We got boundaries. Maybe because we've been hurt. Maybe because of a relationship that we had with someone. Maybe because of a divorce that we've come through, amen, or we're going through. Maybe because we've lost a loved one and we don't know how to love again. But God wants us to know that we are secure in him, that the Holy Spirit is our comforter, that the Holy Spirit holds you. He loves you in his arms, and you've got to let down the fence. You can't have boundaries with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit might want you to go over and speak to somebody that lives next door to you, but you got boundaries because you don't like to associate with other folks. And the other folks may not look like you, might not smell like you, might not act like you, may not eat that pig foot that you eat. Amen. Come on now. But you got to know that you know that you know that God is living in you, for it is greater than he that's living in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then the Lord began to minister to me that this one was real touchy for me. Oh yeah, he was all over me and in my face. And the Lord said, some people are afraid to step out of the boat because of unfamiliar territory. Come on now. And that they never been where they're going. Amen. And they don't know where they're positioned at. Amen. I don't know if I'm on the left or I'm on the right. Amen. And some of us, you know, we like to be in control. Amen. I'm one of them. I'm not going to call myself a control freak. Amen. But, you know, sometimes we just want to know where we're going. You know, I don't like it when I don't know, honey, where we going? You know, just ride. No, baby, where we going? No, I thought we was going over on that side. You told me we was going. Just ride. Come on. You know how the brother do. Say, just ride in the vehicle. Just ride. Lay down. Be quiet, woman. Come on. Let's ride. But you need to know that when God says I'm in control, come on and ride with me. Let me drive this vehicle. That you need to get in the place that he gives you. If he say sit in the back seat on the left side, sit in the right seat. If he say sit right next to me, if he say climb up in the center, you say, Lord, ain't nowhere for me to sit. You need to know that the Lord is in control. He's got you. He's got this. Hallelujah. We got to come off the shore. We got to come off the shore. I know when you were reading in the Gospels, amen, you may have heard in the book of Gospels, he said that Jesus, he was on the shore and he was preaching, and then he got in the boat, and after a while he got out there and he got out in the middle of the water, and he was preaching to the people, but in the water. And some people was coming on in the water with Jesus. But I want you to know, you got to come off the shore. You're going to have to come off the shore. You're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to get in the boat. Even if you get in the boat and you get out there and you get weary and you feel like you're getting a little seasick here, you're going to have to know the Lord got you. The Lord's got you. Come on now. Sometimes we deal with life and life issues. And as we deal with life issues, we find ourselves wanting to hide ourselves. Have you ever wanted to hide yourself? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you a question. This is a rhetorical question, so you don't have to answer. Hallelujah. Where are you? Adam, where art thou? You see, they hid themselves. Have you ever felt like you got to hide yourself? The cares of life are pulling on you, and you need peace. You need joy. You need some money. I need some more money, Lord. That was good, but I need more money, Lord. Come on now. And you in that place, and while you're in that place, you just want to take a long vacation. You say, Lord, you know, maybe you take me on a cruise, Lord. Maybe I drive down the shore and I just lay on the beach. I want you to know something. I'm going to give you the scripture, but you can read it on your own time because I got to move with the time. Genesis 3:8-9. And he said that they hid themselves, but don't you hide yourself from the presence of God. The Bible said they hid themselves from the presence of God. Don't you hide yourself from the presence of God. You need to get out in the midst of where the presence of God is and say, Lord, here am I, oh God. Have your way in my life, oh God. Whatever you want to do, God, it's all right with me. Oh, it's all right with me, God. I trust you, God. You're a God that secures me, God. And Lord God, though I feel like, God, I'm down in this situation and it just ain't working out for me, Lord. But I thank you right now, God, that you've got me, God. That, Lord God, hallelujah. Yet, Lord God, that I've hidden myself. I want to be in your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. It's going to be all right. Come on out, Adam. Come on out, Adam. Hallelujah. And let's get developed. Pastor been talking about us. You got to take the cut. Ooh, we're going to get there. You got to take the cut. Oh, yes. You got to come on out, Adam, and get in the presence of God. And let the Spirit of the Lord make a cut. Or I'm going to go there early. For he's going to make an incision for precision so that you might make a decision. Come on now. Oh, yeah, come on out. You got to take the cut. We got to come out from where we are. And we got to come on a little closer. Just draw a little closer to him and watch him work. You got to die to what you're living in. If you don't want to live in the past and you want to live in the future, how many of you know that God has a destiny? God's have a destiny for you. Amen. Surely it is heaven. But we got to get to our destiny while we're here yet on earth, because God has called each and every one of us with purpose. We have purpose in our lives, and God wants to fulfill that purpose within us. We must realize we're not going to bear fruit until we die, until we die this death. Now, Pastor talked about the next part would be pruning. We've been talking about pruning, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to save that subject for the pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we want you to ask you to come back on Tuesday nights. Amen. And hear about pruning. Amen. This is when we talk to the nucleus. Amen. So we can get a little hungry. Amen. Come and eat this. Amen. So that we can get a little pruning. Amen. Want to clip off a few things. Amen. Cut a couple of old branches off. Amen. I was talking to one of my sisters about a plant that I started growing, and I didn't know how to prune it. I was afraid to cut it. You know, I didn't know if I had to break it. I didn't know if I'd take a little small scissors. I didn't know if I had to cut it a little sideways. I didn't know for sure what I need to do. And she loves to do a lot of planting. So I had to ask her. She said, girl, it's all right. Go and cut that leaf. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And in the same way, we have to be okay when it's time to be pruned. So we're asking you to come back and hear Pastor talk about pruning. Amen. As the elder moves on, amen, we want to talk more about this wheat that fell into the ground and died. And share a little background with you that the seed fell to the ground and it died, as we read in the book of John in the 12th chapter. And he laid in the grave like a seed under the clod, under the earth, under the clay. How many of you believe that? Oh, you're looking at me kind of funny. Ain't nobody clap their hands. I think I'm going to have to qualify. Come on now, let's go to the book of Matthews. To the book of Matthews. Hallelujah. 27. 57. If you're there, say amen. If you're looking, say glory. If you're there, say hallelujah. Amen. And we began the reading, and we're talking about the burial of Jesus. See, we're talking about the corn. We're talking about how it fell to the ground. But we're talking about Jesus. And the word of the Lord reads, and when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate, and he begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it on his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and saying to the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last era shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as ye can. So they went, and they made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone, setting a watch. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. He came and he rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keeper did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, but he is risen. I want to qualify that he is risen. I want to qualify that the man that I'm talking about, that I said that can secure you, that I said that he can take care of all your needs, meet every need that you might have. This is Jesus. He is risen. We want you to know today that Christ was that corn wheat. He poured out his soul. He shed the blood to purchase it for you and me. By dying the death, he was able to gather many souls to himself. He died this death just for you and me. We need to understand that he flourished green. He was fresh. He was great, and he was great with increase. He got up, and Christ lives in you. And whatever is going on in your life, it can get up. But first, you got to realize that you need to let it die. You need to let it go. You need to realize that God has got you. God is making a way for you. But God wants to know one thing. Will you die? Come on now. We need to understand. We got to pick up our cross and we got to follow him. We need to know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm a child of the God. I'm a child of the King. I'm standing with God. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. If I'm waiting on a job, I shall not be moved. If I'm waiting on God to move in my situation, I shall not be moved. If I'm waiting on God to heal my body, I shall not be moved. You need to understand that he's already done the work. The work is complete. All you got to do is let him make the cup. Let him make the cup. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. I want to be led by the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I can't leave this part out. I can't leave this part out. There's always some spirit that wants to defy the truth, wants to challenge the power. But I want to say this. I want to say this by the Holy Ghost, that if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to develop us, that this is what will happen. Go to the book of Joel. To the book of Joel, the first chapter. And here Joel is giving warning and he's giving intercession. God has already caused people to pray for those that are in this house on today. And God is moving by his spirit. I pray that you have an ear to hear. Pastor's been talking to us about not having a dull ear, but having an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto us as a people. If you're there, say amen. In the 17th verse, and the word of the Lord reads, the seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. Hallelujah. We want to let God make the cut. We want to let God move in our lives. We want to bear the fruit that God said that we would bear. But we must understand that God needs to plow the ground. God needs to break up the fallow grounds. The fallow grounds are our heart. We sometimes get hard in our heart. I got to share with you what the Lord told me about fallow ground. Plowed and left unseeded for a season or more. It's uncultivated. This heart is hard and obdurate. Obdurate is to say that it's unmovable by persuasion. It don't care about pity or even tender feelings. It is a blatant, stubborn spirit. Have you ever had someone that you really wanted to see receive the blessings of God? Oh, that you prayed for them. Oh, that you prayed for your brother. Oh, that you prayed for your sister. Oh, that you prayed for your loved one, your spouse. Amen. And yet they could not hear. Amen. But you need to understand that the word of God will do the work. When God sent his word forth, all you got to do is take that faith, that measure of faith that God gave you, and believe and trust that God will do that which God said that he would do. I'm not moved by what the enemy tells me won't be done. I'm not moved by what I cannot see. I call things that be not as though they were. God has already done the work. I thank you, Jesus. I wait on you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to close. Amen. I want to take you to one more scripture. One more scripture. And I want you to know, I think of Paul, and Paul said, I die daily. And some people think that, you know, we always think that I die daily means that I die to myself. Well, yeah, that's okay. But Paul said he was in wars. Paul, if you read on from that scripture, Paul tells you about when he was in Ephesus. Paul talks about when they tried to throw him over the cliff. Paul talks about when they tried to crucify him. That's what Paul is talking about. When you die daily, when you have to deal with circumstances and situations in your life, and those things come against you, will you die to yourself that Christ may live in you the hope of glory? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the book of Romans. And we are in the 6th chapter. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Hallelujah. Romans in the 6th chapter. And I'm in the 4th verse. And I want to leave you with something as a New Testament church to give you assurance. The word of the Lord reads, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the Father by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, he dies no more. I took you to Matthew's and I told you he died. And he rose. He will not die anymore. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise. Y'all say likewise. Likewise. That means you. That means me. Likewise. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You are alive in him. Live in him. Hallelujah. Oh, I can't. I got to give you just a couple more, but y'all can read it on your own. Romans 7 and 4. In Galatians 2 and 20 and 21, I read, therefore, my brethren, ye also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that ye may be married to another, to him, to Jesus, who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Oh, hallelujah. You get to bear these fruit, come on now, because you are in him, because you live in him. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God, the Son of God, who loved me. He gave himself for me. And as Pastor says from verse 21, he speaks this to us all the time. I do not frustrate the grace. of God. For it is righteousness comes by the law. Then Christ is dead in vain. He has not died in vain, but he died for you and I. Amen. Clap your hands for Jesus if you receive the word of God. Come on in.